We're studying through the story of Moses, specifically the story of how the children of Israel made their exodus or made their escape, got away from the evil Egyptian slavery and rule and all the hardship they were facing under Pharaoh. And remember, God had hardened Pharaoh's heart multiple times in multiple ways, but it was specifically so he could show himself mighty, so that they would know that he is God. Remember, the Egyptians, they worshipped all types of gods, false gods, gods with a starting with a little G, so to speak. If you go and look at the artifacts and the ruins in Egypt, and you open up any history book about Egypt, you'll see all these images, all these things, right? They're not worshiping the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible, he had chosen, remember, Israel. He had chosen Jacob, chosen Abraham before him. Okay, they're his chosen people. The Bible calls them his firstborn, in a sense. Okay, they are his alone, and they're to serve him. Not this slavery in Egypt to serve Pharaoh, but no, God wanted them to come out from that. Okay, remember, he had put them there for a purpose, for a time through that time of famine. He had brought Joseph there. Joseph has passed off the scene, and this whole next generation here, they had multiplied, but now a new Pharaoh in charge had put them under bondage. Okay, and so God, remember, he sent how many plagues upon them to get how many? I think it was a total of 10, correct? 10. 10 plagues, okay? And the 10th one, does anybody remember what the 10th one was? When we just talked about recently. What? Death of the firstborn, right? So think of that picture, okay? Here's my firstborn that you're afflicting, but you know what? I'm going to cause death to your firstborn, including Pharaoh's, okay? So anybody born first, and it also included animals, firstborn animals were slain by the Lord. The Bible calls it the strong hand of the Lord, and he will cause Pharaoh to cast you out. Remember last time that the people feared, they feared greatly. They said, if we don't get these people out of here, we're all next. Okay? The wrath of the Lord is going to come upon us too, because they saw what happened. Okay? They saw all the dead people. And this is on top of all the nine other plagues that they had. The nastiest things you could think of, from frogs to lice to locusts, okay? Water turning to blood, everything dying, everything stinking, all that kind of thing, okay? But through it all, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, okay? He might have suffered at it for a time and wanted relief from his suffering from it all, okay, and for the land. But yet his heart always went back to being against God, against God's wishes. And so, as a reminder, let it not ever be so that if we're children of God, okay, we're his children, and we continually harden our hearts against what God is trying to do, what God wants us to do. You're following it then at that point after the pattern of Pharaoh, an unbelieving, evil ruler. We should be following rather. And we're going to look at the end of this lesson today. We're going to tie this up with Moses and his faith. Now, Moses, as if you've read through the stories of Moses, he didn't always do the perfect thing. We know he killed somebody. He had other things where he disobeyed God later on. But by and large, in this whole thing, Moses had faith. He struggled. He had questions, maybe like we would have. Okay? But God is the one seeing him through this, and he puts faith in the Lord. So we're going to look at this final act today. So if you're making a movie of this whole Exodus thing, you're going to look at this final climactic thing. You would think, well, the death of the firstborn, that should be the end of the story right there. But there's one more thing that's going to happen, and we're going to see how that plays out today. So if you're going to turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to turn to chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 51. So Exodus 12, verse 51. And we see here, we talked about how in verse 50, thus did the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And verse 51, and it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So he's bringing them out, but this is a very initial step, bringing them out of this land that they had been in for so long now. Okay, and remember, this is a huge group of people, all their animals, all these things are taking with them. So this is a mass exodus out of this place, going, and as we'll see where they're going away from Egypt, not the convenient route, or the shortest route, so to speak, but more toward the wilderness. So we're going to see that here coming up. But skip down with me to chapter 13, verse 3. And we see here, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread, no leavened bread be eaten. Okay. And we talked about last time and before this feast of the unleavened bread. And even in the Bible times when Christ was here, they still followed this. They still had this idea. We talked about last before, like how communion is something a little bit similar to that, in that we take the bread of communion to remember what the Lord has done for us in salvation on the cross. Okay, but here, this is remembering their deliverance, their salvation from that situation. That was something that they were to continue to do. But I want you to notice that the idea here, the strength of the hand of the Lord. When we're talking about who is God and how does he work, how does he work amongst his people? Well, he brought a strong hand, okay? And it truly was. I don't think we can sit here and think about it. I don't think you can truly imagine death of the firstborn, everybody, including animals. And this is after all the other things, as I mentioned. Okay, the strength of the hand of God, only God could do that. Couldn't say it wasn't just Moses, it wasn't some magic trick, it wasn't anything like that. Nope, this is the strength of the hand of the Lord against about the hardest will of a person you could ever imagine, right? But the Lord wins out here, and as we're going to see, he's going to have an even another final victory here coming up. But the idea here, and you go on, okay, and then it says in verse 4, this day came ye out the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, Amorites, the Hivites, and Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service this month. Remember all the promises back to Abraham and the promised land, okay, all of that, where you're going to go, where these current groups of people are. This is what God has promised you. And you'll see this idea, this land flowing with milk and honey. Okay. This is a desired place. This is a choice place to be. This is God's intention for them to have this blessing and this land, this place. Okay. Not wilderness like they're going to go through to get there. Okay. The idea, or not bondage that they're currently under in Egypt. But no, this good place. That's what God has promised. Okay, and we know that God keeps his promises. So this feast of unleavened bread. And I want to park on this for a moment. Think about this and remember this with the children of Israel. There are time and time and time again where God comes and he delivers them. And usually it's in some kind of just miraculous way or through some great person of faith. Being faithful, and God uses that person. But you're going to see here, I don't know what else you could think of than this great deliverance from Egypt. And you guys remember this. Okay, and we're going to see today how quickly these very same people forget God. They start to think on their own horizons, their own plane of view, their own circumstances right now, what they can see in front of them. And what happens when you do that? You forget the great God in heaven, okay, who has you as his own, okay? You're his people. He's going to protect you. He's already fought for you. He's going to continue to fight for you. You fast forward to today, he saved you, he's your Lord, he's your Savior, he still is always your Savior. He is still always on your side in that sense, okay? And he's always there for you. And it's the same God that we're talking about here. He has not changed, okay? Time has changed for mankind. We're in a different spot now, okay? But it's the same God. So understand this, and when we start to lose faith, okay, we're not looking at the whole picture, thinking about God's perspective. We're looking at the waves of the sea, so to speak, like Peter's thinking in the ocean, right? Take your eyes off of Christ, take your eyes off the Lord, okay? You can run into total calamity, and we're going to see today, what's God's reaction to that? Is he pleased by that? Or does he question it? It's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Don't you understand that I'm God? I'm the Lord. I fight for you, all the rest. I provide for you. I provide for you salvation. What are you doing over here questioning me, my motives and all the rest? Or are you going to have it said, well, you're a faithful person and God's blessing upon you for acting in faith, even though maybe you can't fully understand or truly see God yourself. But you understand who he is and you trust him through it all. So as we look here today, that ends the part of introduction. But I want you to understand as we go down, God is going to make a choice. So this first point is that God leads them, okay, not to the one path toward the Philistines, but he's going to lead them to the wilderness. And this is where this final act, so to speak, of this movie is going to come to play. We're going to see that God still has something in store for the Egyptians. But it's also a time for Moses and the rest to act in faith. So we're going to skip down here in our verses. I'm going to skip all the way down to let's go down to verse, we'll skip down to chapter 14. Let's go down to there for sake of time today. And we see, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahath-Heroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall not shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So this is the idea here in this first point. God leads them to the wilderness. Why? Why does he do this? Okay. So it's not to the area of the Philistines in war and perhaps that they would return to Egypt. Now think about this. They're coming from bondage. They're coming from Egypt. The people, God knows them, knows who he's dealing with. He doesn't want them to change their mind, repent, so to speak, and say, well, let's go back to Egypt. It's more comfortable than all this war with the Philistines and the headaches we're going to encounter if we go this way. He's sending them off to the wilderness. Now, granted, the wilderness, does that sound great to you, right? We know there was all kinds of things in Egypt that Moses gave up, right? All the comforts and pleasures in Egypt when he was in Pharaoh's household. But he forsook all that, as we'll see. But you're going to go into the wilderness, and you're going, though, not to stay in the wilderness, hopefully, but to go to the promised land. We know not all make it to the promised land, but that's a further story. But the wilderness, okay? Go to the wilderness, and this is still for God's purpose concerning Egypt, that they may what? That they may know that I am the Lord. Okay, so they're going to the area of the Red Sea for this purpose. And if you think, if you're going to go and camp there, and think about Pharaoh's perspective, he's watching all this. Remember, he really didn't want to let them go. He still is hardening his heart, and God is still working that way in Pharaoh, that his heart has not changed. Why? So they can know that he is God. He is the Lord. Think again. Remember what Egypt is all about. It's not all about worshiping God. They're not building monuments, okay, using these slaves to honor God. It's to honor themselves as Pharaoh or to honor other quote-unquote gods, okay, and all the wickedness that goes along with it, okay, with that mindset. But he wants them to know, no, I am the Lord, and I will teach you a very important lesson. And it's a hard lesson because it involves their destruction, basically. Okay. But he leads them there. So let's look again here. And it says in verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon all his hosts. So it includes all of them. Okay. The Egyptians, that they may know that I am the Lord. Verse 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So they're thinking again, oh, wait a minute, we're regretting this decision already, okay? And never mind that they already went through 10 plagues, 10 of the most horrible plagues you could imagine. Now they're still back on themselves. Why did we let them go, okay? And they made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. So, okay, this is not just a small group of people here. These are the choice warriors, choice chariots, and everybody they could take with them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. Children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them. Okay, they caught up to them here, encamping by the sea. Okay, and this idea is that when Pharaoh draws nigh, the children of Israel, they lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And I want you to notice these next words. They were sore afraid. The Bible uses this. These words at times, sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Okay, let's stop here. We see the next thing, okay? The idea is that in the Red Sea, when they camped, okay, they camped by the sea. Pharaoh is going to think they're trapped. He's hardened. He's going after them. And the purpose is that God's going to show him that he is a Lord. Okay? We see that, though, under this point, that Israel, they fear. And I think it's true, and I think we would fear as well. But it doesn't speak to your faith. Faith would say, well, I'm not afraid. The Lord fights for me. Okay? Even though this looks dangerous, I'm gonna wait on the Lord and see what he's gonna do for me again in this situation. But, you know, humanly speaking, it's so easy to fear like an imminent danger, imminent threat. And in your mind, all of a sudden goes from a potential to the worst case scenario. And all of a sudden, oh no, and I'm going to cry out to the Lord in some kind of despair, unbelieving despair, right? And all the rest, questioning God, all those kind of things. But we're going to see actually something I call it very, despicable, very sad here, this complaint. So this fear comes with a complaint, almost a idea of ungratefulness. And they said it in verse 11, said unto Moses, because There were no graves in Egypt. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Could you imagine? Here's Moses acting in faith through all of this to get these people out of there. And all of a sudden what they're doing is they're questioning him in his motives. Okay, or are you some kind of a fool here? Or is this your evil plan for us to destroy us out here in the wilderness? We could have just, you know, been in Egypt. Okay. Why have you dealt this way with us? Remember, it's not just Moses, okay? And you're questioning Moses like this, you're really questioning God too. God, why have you dealt this way with us through your chosen person, Moses? And you're going to see time and time and time again, children of Israel, they really almost, in essence, harden their hearts. They lose their focus off of God so quickly, so often. In question, remember back to the beginning of this. You remember this month, this day, your salvation from Egypt. But already they're questioning God. Think of that. That's what's going on here. Okay? They're questioning God. Why would you carry us forth out of Egypt this way to die out here? Isn't that the word that we tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Okay, remember, that goes totally against what they should have known that God wants for them. He wants for them to come out from Egypt. Why? To serve him, to worship and honor and glorify him. And you're saying, well, no, forget all that idea. We would just rather serve the Egyptians so we could feel more safe than we do out here. You're totally not thinking at that point from God's perspective. You've lost it. You're on your own plane here. You're just fearing for yourself, thinking about yourself, okay? Being very ungrateful, forgetting totally who God is, and that's so easy to do. We can sit here in judgment on them, but humanly speaking, this is easy to do. But in verse 13, we see Moses, and I like this here. His message is basically to fear not. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, okay? Calm down, stand still here, and see the salvation of the Lord. Okay, quit questioning God. You stay still, and you look and see what God is going to do for you. Okay, you see this salvation, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And key in here on verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Okay. The Lord, again, he's reminding them, the Lord is going to fight for you. This isn't all on you. This is a deliverance that God is showing for you. He's going to fight for you. He is for you. And the Lord said unto Moses, here, next point, this idea is, of God, his reaction to it. It says, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. God is kind of like, well, why are you crying to me? Don't you understand? Here, you know, I've given you directions. You guys just need to do it and let me do what I'm going to do, is the idea I get from it. And he gives him a command here in verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So wait a minute, hold up, time out, right? Who's going to think I can just go command wind and blow this water aside and walk through this on dry ground, right? In your mind, you're thinking, oh, we're trapped by the sea. The army's coming. We're dead meat, right? We're dead. You forget. Forget who you're dealing with, the God, very God who created this whole world. And God is promising them here, telling them, you do this, and I'm going to let you pass through in dry ground, through this sea. Okay? I'm going to do this. Okay, so why do you cry unto me? Your faith is small here, so to speak. But lift up your rod. God gives Moses something to do. He has to obey God, but go and do this, and I will provide salvation. In this way, from your enemies. Okay, And again, it says in verse 17, and behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Okay. God's going to get the honor in the end of the day here in all of this. And this is what God wants. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Okay. God has his mind set on this idea, this purpose. They're going to know today that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen, the angel of God went before the camp of Israel and removed and went behind them, and the pillar, the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. Remember, you had the pillar of the cloud, the pillar of fire at night, so they could go out in a day or nighttime and make progress. Well, you have a division. And remember, in the Passover, do you remember, there was a division between Israel being passed over and saved and Egypt. And we saw it in different plagues before, right? You know, the plague would hit the Egyptians, but God's chosen people weren't affected, right? There's a difference, and the idea was there's a difference between those of us who are God's and those of us in this world, so to speak, who are not, okay? One has the protection of God. The other ones, they're still outside of the realm of God's protection. They're not his. They're under his wrath, so to speak, and will be ultimately facing God's wrath if they don't repent, if they don't change their mind and come to him. Come back to the story here. This idea of dividing the sea is the next point. He's going to harden their hearts, and he will get the honor. And we see here, to them, then down in our text, verse 20, it would be like a cloud of darkness to them. The Egyptians would see this cloud, and they weren't going to pass. It's giving Israel time to get through the sea. So then we see in 21, Moses stretches out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. It made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided so that they could get through, divided on either side. And I want you to notice this amazing thing as well in verse 22. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, okay, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. I want you to think about that for a second. Think of a wall of water as deep as the sea is, okay, on either side of them, and they're going to pass through on dry ground. Folks, I want to park on this in the sense that understand that this is God not only providing salvation to Israel, right, taking them through, but also for the purpose of then showing and teaching a lesson to the Egyptians to follow and destroying them. But this is, mark it down, this is a miracle that God is doing here, okay? I've seen shows before on TV and other things where people speculate how this could happen in a natural sense of this abnormal amount of wind coming and dividing the sea in a shallow spot, and all of a sudden you temporarily can walk through, and then that's not really what this is talking about here when you're talking about walls of water on either side, okay? In this wind here. And it goes back to the plagues and the rest. There's all these theories about how these plagues could have come about, and all the like with the animals and the locusts and the other things. But that misses the point. It's not the idea to figure out how naturally those things could be plausible. What you need to figure out is, who is the God in heaven, the creator, who is doing all this miracle for your sight? Putting those things in place, doing this thing, providing this salvation. Fast forward it to the cross. Understand that your salvation isn't just some simple thing here to where anybody could accomplish this. The whole idea of a Savior coming, dying sinlessly on the cross, God in the flesh, okay, God the Son in the flesh, is a miracle, right? It is, okay? The idea of your salvation is a miracle of God. It's not just that you can explain it away as something plausible, not some just good man that happened to live and he died innocently on a cross for you. Some people would have you to believe that, but no, that's false teaching, folks. This idea is this salvation of the Lord is, okay, it is a miracle and it points to God and who he is and what he's all about. Okay, he's a miraculous God that can save them. Well, let's go on here. We have about 5 to 10 more minutes here. We want to see that Israel is now passing through the Red Sea. Could you ever have imagined that if you were living in that day, passing through the Red Sea on dry ground? Okay. And the idea here is as well, basically God is saying, your role isn't to try to figure this thing out. I'm fighting for you. I've told you to do something. I'm providing the way. You need to go and do it. Quit questioning me. Go ahead and do it in faith. That's the idea here. And lastly, we see the Lord saved Israel that day, verse 30. Let's go down to verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. So you know what happened, folks? They go through on dry ground. God lets the Egyptians through. They come in. And he basically, the Bible says, he causes their wheels, even on their chariots, to fall off. And they start to second guess themselves, thinking, whoa, maybe we shouldn't do this. It's too late. Too late. They understand that God's fighting for them. We're in trouble. But at that point, the end comes for them. Because the waters come back once Israel is through and just crushes the whole host of them. Okay? And they see their bodies come up. Dead on the shore, basically drowned. Okay, so here is again that picture. They're brought through to salvation on the other side. The rest are destroyed. And it's the idea of think back to Jesus Christ. Think back to Noah. Think back to the picture of the ark being taken through to safety, okay, onto dry ground. And here, all the rest of the wicked world is destroyed in a flood. Or think ultimately of your salvation. You're brought through Christ to heaven, from the wrath. Okay, you avoid all that, and you're brought safe to heaven. Everyone else, that's the unbeliever. Where do they go? It's not heaven, folks. Okay, they go away from God, separated from him forever. The idea is the Lord saved them alive versus the ones that were dead on the seashore. Okay, they saw this happen. Remember, again, they saw this great deliverance. These people saw it with their own eyes. They went through it. Okay, they saw this great work. So even here, again, there should be another point for their faith to have expanded. They saw this great work. They feared and they believed God, the Bible says, and they believed Moses. Do you today understand the mighty God that we have? His strength, his honor, his power, his salvation he can provide, whether physically or through spiritual salvation, his deliverance that is in him. Will you believe and do? Will you believe God and then do what he wants you to do with your life? Okay. We see, and I'm going to wrap up with this. There's an example in the New Testament of this. Hebrews 11. We have four more minutes here. Hebrews 11. And this really, honestly, is a passage that you should read through Hebrews 11, this chapter on faith. But we're going to look specifically at Moses here. And this is covered in here. In a nutshell, wrapping up, it really kind of wraps up, summarizes some of the story we've been looking at. Hebrews 11, verse 23. And it goes back to the start of Moses' life. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. So right there we saw the miracle of his birth, him being kept alive. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Remember that position he was in. He could have stayed there and enjoyed all that pleasure of sin and all the wealth of Egypt, but no. He went to be with his people. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Okay. There's a great principle there. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. It's far better to serve the Lord. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, seeing him who is invisible. He wasn't afraid of the king. He saw God. He understood. Remember the burning bush and all the rest. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that he be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. We looked at today. They passed through the Red Sea by faith. By dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Okay. They are passed through safe by faith. Egyptians were drowned. This is the idea, is folks, will you understand today? The same God that saved them is your God and Savior today if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you try to come to Him by any other way, you're still like the unsaved. You're still like the Egyptians, okay? Maybe you still hardened your heart against God. You don't want to accept His grace gift that was shown to you in Jesus Christ. He died for your sins, folks. Will you trust Him today and receive that salvation for yourself? If you have, will you serve the Lord? Lord who can deliver His people like that, can deliver you spiritually. Today, will you serve Him? And quit questioning. Will you be so quick to forget tomorrow what salvation and spiritual deliverance God gave you? Okay? Or will you think, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I want to forsake all these things. I want to serve Him. I'm going to walk forth in faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the idea that You are the great, mighty God. With Your strong hand, You can provide deliverance to us. We know there's a great deliverance provided to us in Jesus Christ. Help us today, Lord, every day, to live knowing just what a great and mighty, awesome God You are. To think upon the fact that You saved us, even though we didn't deserve any kind of grace, any kind of mercy, but You showed it to us anyway. You showed deliverance, Lord, we see by way of example, to the children of Israel, who You loved, Lord, even despite all their doubt and insults and questioning of Moses and questioning of Your motives, Lord. You saved them anyway out of love because they were Your chosen people. Lord, help us not to be those who doubt, but those like Moses who go forth in faith. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.